ఆలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోకశంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేదవిభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః.
వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం
కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం
తేనేశస్య విధీయతామపచితిః
కామ్యేమతిస్త్యజ్యతాం
పాపౌగః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే దోషోనుసంధీయతాం
ఆత్మేచ్ఛావ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్
పూర్ణం వినిర్గమ్యతాం
సంగస్సత్సు విధీయతాం భగవతో
భక్తిర్దృఢాదీయతాం శాంత్యాదిపరిచీయతాం దృఢతరం
కర్మాశు సంత్యజ్యతాం
సద్విద్వానుపసృప్యతాం ప్రతిదినం తత్పాదుకాసేవ్యతాం
బ్రహ్మైకాక్షరమర్ప్యతాం శృతిశిరో
వాక్యం సమాకర్ణ్యతాం.
So in the second shloka, it was said, Sangha Satsu Vidhiyatam. Let Sangha association with noble people be cultivated. Entertain Bhagavataha Bhaktihi Dhrida Adhiyatam. Let strong or firm devotion to the Lord be cultivated. శాంత్యాదిహి పరిచీయతాం. లెట్ శాంతి ఎట్సెట్రా బి ప్రాక్టీస్. దృఢతరం కర్మాషు సంత్యజ్యత. లెట్ కర్మ యాక్షన్ బి గివెన్ అప్ వెరీ వెల్. దృఢతరం ఫర్మ్లీ ఆశు ఇమీడియట్లీ. సో ద ఐడియా కన్వేడ్ వాస్ when karma has served its purpose, then it should be given up. Karma should not be continued for the heck of it. Karma should not be continued because of the attachment to karma. This is called karma sakti, not karma shakti. Okay, karma sakti. Karmasya karmanaha not karmanaha, karmanaha asakti. Asakti means attachment. You see security in karma. You feel without karma, you will have no value. This is experienced by many people when they retire. After retirement, they always want to have some consultancy. So that they can tell somebody, what are they doing? I am doing consultancy. Slowly they will say, honorary consultancy. Means nothing is made, they let me come to their office. Why? Because we are evaluating ourselves in terms of what we are doing. And therefore karma we continue. Nobody likes to say I am not doing anything. I am doing nothing. People will not like to say. And therefore, there is some security in doing karma. There is some prestige involved. And therefore, tyajyatam, dhadataram, firmly, ashu. Ashu is immediately, without procrastinating. No, no, I will give up next year, next year, next year. He is already 65, 67, 67. Next year, next year. So when karma has served its purpose, then should be given. One should outgrow the need for karma. And when this karma sannyasa, renunciation of karma is talked about, it is not meant for being lazy. Okay, now you don't do any karma, just take it easy. That is not the idea. Laziness is not prescribed here. Inaction is not prescribed here. This karma has to be replaced by exclusive commitment to the study of sattva. So now gross activities are replaced by subtle activities in the form of shravana, manana, nididhyasana. So it is not that person should stop activity and doing nothing. He is really speaking in fact, he is more busy. But he is busy with subtle activities. Shravana, manana, nididhyasana. Like in management. When person climbs the ladder in management, his gross activities will be reduced. Paperwork, writing the something, typing something, writing the reports, all those things will be reduced as he goes up or she goes up. After some position, he has to simply write the what is called summary of it. Afterwards, summary also is not to be written. Somebody will write a summary. Somebody will present the ideas. He doesn't have to even read. Because he has to spend more and more time on thinking. And therefore, his other activities, which are routine activities, he is exempted from. CEO also has to write all his medical leave report, and he has to put the bills and all this, you know, that he went to this place and he has to write the bill. He has to book his ticket. He has to inquire about the availability of the hotel. And what will he use? His time will be spent on that only. Therefore, he is exempted from all this. Similarly, as person progresses in the spiritual pursuit, then gross activities are reduced. And the activity at the mental level, intellect level, is increased. And that is what is said here. Karmasu santajyatam is the karma. The Vedic karma, Nitya Naimittika karma, or even Upasana, what he was doing, he can reduce or give up. And be ready for this pursuit, exclusive pursuit of Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. And that is Karmasu Santyajyata. And then he or she has to approach the teacher. And therefore the next was Sadvidvan Upasruptyatam. Upasruptyatam means, sruptyatam means, should be approached. Who should be approached? Sadvidvan. Vidvan from Vidvas Sabda. Vidvan. Vidvan literally means the one who is knowing. Vidhatu, this Vas, Vasu is added. Instead of Shatru Pratyaya, Vasu is added. So, Vidvas Sabda, they direct. So, Vidvan means the one who is knowing. What is he knowing? Sat. Sat Vidvan. One who is knowing the truth. So, Sat Vidvan means the knower of the truth. The knower of the truth should be approached by the sattva. Or Sat Vidvan means a proper learned person. Sat means good. Qualified. Well-qualified Vidvan
should be approached by a sadhaka. Here, Vidwan word is in the sense of a guru, a teacher, an acharya. So, Sadguru should be approached to by the sadhaka. And we were seeing, what is the necessity for going to the teacher? We have already seen. He wants to know the self. And for the self-knowledge, pratyaksha pramanam is not valid. Means, the sense organs are not valid. Inference etc. also are not valid, because inference etc. are meant for something very remote. Pratyaksha is meant for something which is available in front of sense organs. And therefore, only pramanam is Shastra pramanam. But why not Shastra pramanam we use by ourselves? Then Shastra itself says that you have to go to a teacher. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. The one who has got Acharya alone knows. And the reason is that scripture, Vedanta, is full of contradictory sentences. Esoteric sentences, which we will not be able to understand. Like Pujya Swamiji generally gives the example of Purnamada Purnamidam. Purnam Adaha, that is whole. Purnamidam, this is whole. Purnat Purnamudachyate, from the whole comes the whole. Purnasya Purnamadaya, if you take the whole of the whole, what remains is the whole. And what remains is HOLE in our the whole will remain. And not only that, there are sentences Tade Jati, Tanne Jati. This reality is moving. Ejati, Kampate, Nae Jati, does not move. In the same line it is there. It moves, it does not move. Tadure, it is very far off. Tadu Antike, it is very close by. Very far off, and it is the most proximate. So, this set, Vedanta is full of such contradictory statements. And therefore, we require the teacher to open this particular secret which is given in Vedanta. And therefore, in Mundaka Upanishad, it is nicely said, Tad Vijnanartham Gurum Eva Abhigachyate. To know that reality, which is akritaha, which is not produced, nitya, permanent, free from limitation of time, that reality, if you want to know, Gurum eva abhigachet, we should go to the Guru alone. And in fact, we can have the connection with Gurum abhigachet eva. You should necessarily go to the teacher. Gurum eva abhigachet, you should go to the teacher only. Don't study by yourself. Or Gurum abhigachet eva, you should necessarily go to the teacher. Well, Shankaracharya ji, writing commentary on this mantra, he says, why eva is there? Emphatical particle. The particle eva is showing the emphasis. And then he says, Shastra Gnopi Swatantrena Brahma Jnana Anveshanam Na Kuryat. Brahma Jnana Anveshanam Na Kuryat. Shastra Gnopi. Shastra Gnopi means, even if you know Sanskrit, if you have studied Sanskrit somewhere, you are well versed in Sanskrit. Even if you know Nyaya Shastra, Tarka, logic also you know very well. Even if you know Mimamsa, in fact many of you might not have heard the words, but even if you know, still, Brahma Jnananveshanam Svatantrena Na Kuryat. You should not analyze this Brahma Jnanam, this Upanishad, Svatantrena, independently, without the help of a teacher. And therefore eva is there. It is a necessity. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, tadviddhi pranipatena vaiprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanina stattva darshina. He said, you go and understand this particular truth from a teacher. And therefore here in mantra also it is said, tadvijnanartham guru meva abhigacche. And how should we go? Samit Panihi. We should have Samit. Samit means this fuel which is used in the ritual. In those days, the rishis used to have the ritual in the ashram every day. Whether they themselves are doing or shishyas are doing, fuel is used. And therefore, shishya, this person who wants to study, he takes samit with him, this fuel with him, the wooden pieces with him, when he is going to request the teacher to teach. When he is approaching the teacher first time to request him to teach him, that time he carries this firewood. It is a symbol of readiness to serve the teacher. Like you book your house, a flat or something, you have to give some down payment, you know. There is something called down payment. So similarly, this Samit Pani, he is carrying something in his hand, showing that I am ready to serve you. This is my first installment or down payment. Now onwards I will be giving installments, but this is this symbol of my readiness to serve. So Samit Pani. And here Samit stands for anything which will be useful to the teacher. If you are going to somebody who is a Swami and who doesn't have any such big ashram and there is no fire ritual in his place, then you should not carry Samit. You should carry something which will be useful to him. And therefore, here it is said Samit Pani. Means one should go to the teacher with the readiness to serve him or her. And which type of teacher he should go? For teacher, two adjectives are used. Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means one who is well-versed. Shrotriyam chando dhite. It is Panini Sutra means that. Shrotriyam chando dhite. So that Shrotriya Shabda is a dipatana by this. Panini has given, it is Shrutriya Shabda is derived by the Sutra. So Shrutriya means one who is studying Chandaha, Vedas. One who has studying or studied Chandas. Chandas means Sastra, Vedas. One who has studied Sastra is called Shrutriya. So Shrutriya means this person is well versed in scripture. It is not that I have realized this truth in my deep meditation, so I will share with you. No. He has studied the Shastra. Of course, he has done meditation. As Pujya Swamiji said the other day very nicely, he said, I am giving my vision. But what is my vision? Shastra's vision is my vision. I have made Shastra's vision as my vision, and then I am giving my vision to you. But it is not that my own vision I am giving it to you. Shastra's vision. And that person, this guru, has got the vision of Shastra that is suggested by the word Shrotriya. Well versed in Shastra. In other words, which we are familiar with, that expression is Sampradayavit. One who knows, with means knows, the knower. The knower of Sampradaya. Sampradaya means what? The content and the methodology of teaching preserved by the lineage of teachers. This is called Sampradaya. So the methodology of teaching which is preserved by the tradition, that is known to this person. How to resolve this contradiction in Shastra? Tadejati, tannejati, taddure, tadantike. It is very far off, it is very close, it is moves, it does not move. How to resolve that? Mastani sarva bhutani, nacha mastani bhutani. You have studied this, no? Which chapter it comes?
Ninth
chapter. So there Bhagavan said, all bhutas are in me. And in the next line itself he said, nacha mastani bhutani. How to resolve those contradictions? One who knows that, because he or she was exposed to this traditional teaching of Vedanta. So Shrotriya means one who is a traditional Vedanta teacher. One who does not say, I am giving something my own. One who is giving the teaching which he or she has received from his teacher. And his teacher or her teacher had received from his teacher. So there is a lineage of teachers which is started with Dakshinamurti, Sadashiva or Narayana. So the person who has got the knowledge of traditional teaching is called Shrotriya. This is one qualification of Guru. We have studied so many qualifications of Shishya, so let us study some qualification of Guru also. So one is, he should be, or she should be, Shrotriyam. And another one is, Brahmanishtham. Brahmani Nishtha Yasya Saha Brahmanishtha Tam. Nishtha has got two meanings. Nishtha means abidance or Nishtha means commitment. One who has got abidance in Brahman or one who has got commitment only to Brahma-jnanam, not to karma or not to jnanam, etc. Only Brahma and Brahma only means Brahma-jnanam, not to miracles, siddhis, etc. So that person is called Brahmanishtha, one who is abiding in Brahman. Abiding in Brahman is equal to abiding in Brahma Jnana. Otherwise, factually, everybody is abiding in Brahman only. You cannot abide anywhere else. Your basis is what? Brahman, whether you know it or not. You cannot abide anywhere else. Your abidance, your adhishthanam, your support is what? Brahman only. Actually, Brahman alone is adhishthanam. So all of us are, whether we know it or not, we are abiding in Brahman. And what is the meaning of Brahmanishtha? Brahmanishtha is the one who knows that my abidance is in Brahman only. Really, I am Brahma. So Brahma Nishtha means Brahma Jnana Nishtha. Abidance in Brahman means abidance in the knowledge of Brahman. And what is the knowledge of Brahman? I am Brahma. One who abides in this understanding that I am Brahma is called Brahma Nishtha. Or little bit discount we give, because that type of Brahma Nishtha is becoming very rare and rare. So one who has got exclusive commitment to this Brahma Jnanam only, nothing else. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji in writing commentary on this Brahma Nishtha, he says, Sarva Karmani Hitva. He doesn't have any project. Only he is abiding in Brahman. Commitment to Brahman. Abiding in Brahman or commitment to Brahman? Otherwise, what will happen when he is giving a class, in which his cell phone will ring and he will say, okay, 5 minutes, I have to talk to this fellow, he is very important fellow. So he is talking about the Atma, Brahma, etc. When the phone call comes, he has to take up, because he has got so many things. No. Sarva Karmani Hitva, he is abiding only in this. Or he has got commitment only to Brahma Jnana. That person is Brahmanishtha. primary meaning of Brahmanishtha is abiding in the understanding of Brahman. Means he is well rooted in this understanding of Brahman. Generally well rooted we don't use, but one who has got firm knowledge of Brahman. We don't say well rooted in Brahman, well rooted in the understanding of Brahman. Means he is very well convinced, and this understanding is very very clear to him like daylight. That is Brahmanishtha. So he is not simply teaching. When he says you are Brahman, everything is nothing but Brahman, he or she means it. It is not just to teach you, I am teaching, I should mean it. The teacher should mean it that everything is Brahman. Then the teacher will be called Brahmanishtha. So the teacher, the ideal teacher, the best teacher has to have these two qualifications, Shrotriya and Brahmanishtha. And Shishya should go to the teacher who is Shrotriya and Brahmanishtha. Now suppose, there is a teacher who is Shrotriya but not Brahmanishtha. Means he knows the Shastra very well. He has studied and he is very intelligent, so he retains also. He has got very good communication power also. But somehow, because of some lack in sadhana chatushtaya sampatti somewhere, he is not able to abide in this understanding. So he is Shrotriya but not Brahmanishtha. This is one variety. The first variety is what? He is Shrotriya and Brahmanishtha both. That is the best. Now one option is he is Shrotriya, well versed in the scripture but not abiding in Brahman. Means he is not having that much abidance in the understanding which he is teaching. And third variety is he is Brahmanishtha but not Shrotriya. You may wonder how it is possible. How can one be Brahmanishtha without being Shrotriya? Very rarely it happens. But like in every field we have genius, child prodigy. So similarly here we have spiritual genius who had some strong samskara from the past life itself. In the past life itself he or she had studied very well, but something was missing. Some particular raga or something came, some particular obstacle, and because of that he or she had to take next janma. Some obsession, something happens. Listen, there is always such a slip between lips and cup. So something happened. And because of that, that person is born again. Strong samskara is there. Like some children, at the age of 3 or 5, they start playing violin. You must have heard, very early age. At the age of 20 also we may struggle. I always wonder how they play. It feels that some meaningful sound comes out of, I always wonder. So I wonder at the age of 51 also, and this child at the age of 3 also does. So they are genius in that particular field. And they don't require so much training. Little bit they are exposed to and they catch. They get it very fast. They don't require to go through this formal training. Similarly, in the spiritual field also it happens that some obstacle was there in this janma, some experience took place, some sentence he or she heard, and that itself clicked. Very sukha. And that sentence is enough. Very sukha. No dukkha. am sakshi of dukkha. I know dukkha, and what I know, I am different from. I am ananda swarupa, and that is enough. To us, somebody says, very dukkha, hey, what you are seeing, I am full of dukkha. You see my face, what is that? Whereas this one sentence may be good enough. It is like there was a fire. Only some smoke was there, or some ash was there. Just little bit removed, who did, and fire starts. Similarly, in the case of this person, he did not undergo this formal training or say formal exposure to Shastra, and he or she got it. The vision, I am limitless Brahman. And that person abides in this understanding. He doesn't have any doubt. Very clear. Very firm. And he enjoys that wisdom. So, he or she is having Brahma Nishtha. So, second qualification he has, Brahma Nishtha. But, he doesn't know Shastra. The Shastra memory doesn't have. The final conclusion came, but the methodology did not come. Like, see, many of the equations, the final equation we remember. How it was derived, we don't remember. Sin square theta plus cos square theta is equal to 1. Perhaps some of you may be remembering, but how was it derived? May not remember. So similarly, this person has got the samskara. And so he got Brahma Nishtha in this janma, but not exposed to Shastra in this janma. And he doesn't find the need to be exposed. So he remains happy. So now we have got, the first option is the most ideal. Now we have got two options. One is only Shrotriya, not Brahmanishtha. The another one is only Brahmanishtha, not Shrotriya. Now, if you are a sadhaka, where would you like to go? Number two or number three?
Shrotriya.
Where will we go? I mean, we have to go. One is staying in South India, other is North India. Because otherwise, in the morning I will go to him, evening I will go to
him.
Second is only Kshatriya, not Brahmanishtha. Little bit Brahmanishtha, but very little. This person is Brahmanishtha, but not Kshatriya. How many will go to number two?
Kshatriya.
How many will go to number 3? Okay, 1 or 2 are there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 3. You are not to number 2? It's up to you. But according to the acharyas, if we have to grade, generally we should not grade. But suppose we have to grade. Shrotriya Brahmanishtha is class 1. And for a sadhaka, from the standpoint of learning, only Shrotriya is better. Why? Because he will not misguide you. He will not confuse you. Whereas, this number 3, as a wise person, he deserves our namaskara. He deserves our seva. And he definitely can inspire us. Seeing him, we feel like being a wise person. But since he has not gone through this regular path, he will say, what is there in karma? What is in upasana? Chhod do. Leave everything. Just be in this truth. I am the Buddha. What is there? What stops you? It's so clear. You are Brahman. Don't do anything. Live in this understanding. Got it. No karma, no upasana. Don't study Shastra, and all these Shastras are confusing. See, I have not studied any Shastra. I am enjoying this mission. He will say like this. Therefore, he may be confusing. may be confusing. It is not necessary he will confuse, but may be confusing. Because he has not gone through that regular process. It is something like from Coimbatore to Delhi, you have traveled by air. Now suppose I ask you, how to go to Coimbatore to Delhi by the road, by car? You will not be able to tell. Right? Because you have gone by plane. See, Brahmanishtha has traveled by plane. And all of us have to go by road. therefore,
it may not be useful.
As a Brahma Jnani, he is the most respectable. The most respectable. We should have namaskara, we should have respect. He can be the source of our inspiration. But as far as the study is concerned, spending time is concerned for years together, then the second one is the safe bet. And therefore, the only Kshatriya is Madhyamaha. If you can get Kshatriya and Brahmanishtha, nothing like that. But in life, every time we don't get what we want, you know. So if we have to choose between this only Kshatriya and only Brahmanishtha, we go to Kshatriya. Why? Because he will tell exactly what is said in Shastra. He will tell exactly what is said in the tradition. So it may happen that he may remain wherever he is and we may get Brahmanishtha. Chances are there. Of course, his sentence will have less impact on the listener. Because when anything comes from one's own conviction, it will have more impact. But suppose you are able to receive the impact elsewhere, somewhere. Teaching part, if you have received, then your job will be done. You will not be misled. You will not be confused. But generally you must have seen, those who are Brahmanishtha, they become more popular. Because they always say, nothing to be done. Most of them, they say, nothing to be done. Just remain in this understanding. Nothing to be done. Remain in this understanding. Drop everything. Some people like it. Because anyway, they don't want to do everything. So they want to hear this. He says, just observe this fact. Observe, understand this fact. That's all. And so they can be confused. And therefore, Kshatriyam, Brahmanishtham, both the qualities are there. Very, very good. If that is not there, then we go to a person who is Kshatriya because we want to learn. If we want to get some inspiration only, then we should go to Brahmanishtham. Kshatriya may not inspire us so much. Brahmanishtha will inspire. But if you want to learn, better go to this Kshatriya. One who is exposed to the tradition. So, Kshatriyam Brahmanishtham. Now, after going to the teacher, what is to be done? First it was said, Sarvidvan upasrupyatam should be approached. After going, what is to be done? Should I start teaching right away? I come on the 30th April and first May course starts. Is it like that? No. Tatpaduka sevyatam. Pratidinam should go with the next one. Pratidinam tatpaduka sevyatam. Pratidinam means every day. Every day we should not connect with the previous one. Every day you should go to a wise person. Yes, one day this wise person, another day this person. So, Pratidinam goes with the next instruction. And that is, Pratidinam Tatpaduka Sevyata. Pratidinam, every day, Tatpaduka. Tat means Vidwan Paduka. Vidvat Paduka is sandal. This wooden sandal is called paduka. I think all of you must have seen. On Guru Purnima day, we had a paduka. It was silver, of course, but I think wooden one also I was there.
Yes.
Remember, it was a sandal. It was a sandal, sandal.
Sandal.
I hope you understood. Sandal has got two meanings. Sandal wood also has a sandal. So, wooden sandal is called paduka. So, tat paduka means his or her paduka, his or her sandal, sevyatam, should be served. The sandal of the teacher should be served every day. Pratidinam, every day. What is the meaning of serving the sandal? Here the commentary says, sandal stands for feet. So, the feet of the teacher should be served. And the feet of the teacher means the teacher himself, herself should be served. This, the feet stand for the entire guru. But then why do we say that his feet should be served? Why don't we say his stomach should be served? Why don't we say his head should be served? His hand should be served? Why we say feet should be served? The feet are the lowest part of the body. And Shastra wants to say that you should be ready to serve the teacher in any manner required. Don't say that. How can I touch his feet? I can touch his hand perhaps. If he wants me to perhaps press his head, perhaps I can do it. But he, I cannot serve his feet. And therefore it is said, feet means the lowest part of the body. I am ready to serve. And also there is another feeling involved. Right now Shishya feels that the head of the teacher, which stands for the jnanam of the teacher, is beyond my reach. The head of the teacher, which stands for his knowledge, is beyond my reach. What I can see is only feet. And therefore, I serve the feet, and through the feet slowly I will climb and go to his head. Like one small ant, if it wants to go to the head, what will it do? It will start from the feet. Slowly climb. Means, I am ready to start my sadhana from seva, and finally I will reach jnana. And also the word is used, tat paduka. His paduka I will serve. If I don't get the chance to serve his feet, I will serve his paduka. Means even indirect seva I am ready to do. People have generally this insistence that I will like to serve Swamiji directly. Means, I myself should cook for Swamiji, I myself should massage Swamiji, I myself should give water to Swamiji, I myself should give medicine. I should do it. And for that so many people are there. And therefore there is a competition. The competition is that I will do it, others I will do it. In fact, sometimes when they are serving food to Swamiji, there is a fight. One lady is serving and the other lady is saying, no, this will not suit Swamiji. This other lady says, why not it will suit? Swamiji has taken. I tell you, I have heard this happen. Two ladies started fighting, Swamiji got up and went away. So there is so much insistence that I should serve. Not necessary. Yes, if I get a chance, definitely I would like to serve, but I will not fight for that purpose. My guru will not like it. You need to ask that thing, that if I do like this, if I fight with my co-shishya, with co-student for this purpose, and finally I reach Swamiji, and he comes to know that how I got this opportunity, will he like it? The very purpose of seva is defeated. And therefore, tatpaduka sevyata means, even if you don't get a chance to serve him directly, whatever is associated with him, you do. You can perhaps clean his ground surrounding his building, but Swami, nobody will see it. That is our problem. I want to do something which Swamiji should know, or at least some people should. And this cleaning I have to do early in the morning when nobody is there. What is the use of doing something when nobody knows? If you think like this, the spirit of seva is not fully understood. So that is why I say tat paduka sevyatam. If you don't get chance to serve him directly, serve his paduka. Means serve things which are connected to his body. Wash his plate. No, I would like to serve Swami. People like to serve Swami, but people may not like to wash his plate, some of them. Any way I can serve, even if he knows or he doesn't know, doesn't matter. As I told you other day, when we do namaskara, we need not expect a receipt. Similarly, when we do seva, we need not expect a receipt. Will Swamiji know that I am doing so much seva? I am doing seva, I am doing rest. And that is why tat paduka sevyata. This seva aspect, guru seva aspect, is highly emphasized in our sastra. And it looks a little bit funny. Why funny? Because guru has to talk about guru seva. See, when guru says that you do guru seva, eternally what is saying? You serve me. It is very like a shameless thing to say. But fortunately, this type of sentences are there in sastra itself. So guru is saying, he said, I am not telling, sastra is. Only thing, he has freedom to explain that sentence a little more elaborately. That much he can do. But we have to understand why this seva aspect is emphasized. Is it a way of exploitation? Is it a way of exploitation? So that shishyas, you know, always remain under control. So that ashram can be run by free staff. That is not the purpose. Why should we serve the teacher? One reason is the teacher also wants to know whether shishya, this person who has come, is qualified or not. And by your readiness to serve, you are expressing your qualification. You are expressing your value for Vidya. It is something like, when something is very valuable to you, you will be ready to give advance payment. Something is not valuable to you, so why should I give advance? I will give only when I get delivery. COD I will do. COD means, you know, cash on delivery. It's for COD. So similarly, I will say, that Guruji, I will serve you after you teach me all Upanishads. In sastra it is not accepted. In Prashna Upanishad, there is a beautiful story which comes. Six Shishyas, they go to Pippalada Rishi. They wanted to ask six questions. And you know what Pippalada Rishi said? He said, you stay here in my ashram as a brahmachari, doing tapas and doing seva for 1 year. Right now I am not even letting you ask questions. I will not let you ask questions. You be here for 1 year, and then after 1 year you have served the ashram, done guru seva, after 1 year you can ask any question you want. And if I know the answer, I will definitely give. So imagine, it's a risk also. After 1 year you have sold, and guru says, this question I don't know. Oh my God. You give advance payment and they say delivery is not done. But this is how it is. And those six rishis, this day, they took risk. As you give some advance payment, that fellow may run away, also builder can run away. In India it is very common. Still you give. So in building you are ready to give. But Brahma Vidya, you said, after studying Brahma Vidya I will see. Therefore, for 1 year they stayed and then they were allowed to ask questions, and of course Tripurana Rishi gave the answer. And therefore, first reason for Guru Seva is to know on the part of Guru whether Shishya, whether this person is qualified or not. Otherwise, sometimes it can be a time pass. Or just to give some quotation in some management seminar. Or you also can say, I have also done the course, I have done this, I also know this situation. And Shrotriya Brahmanishtha Guru doesn't want to teach such people. Why should he teach? And therefore, Guru wants to see whether Shishya really wants Brahma Vidya, or it is just a fancy. Now we have so many fancy, I will do this, I will do that. And therefore, one reason is to see the sincerity of the Shishya. Second one is, Seva provides the opportunity to reduce our ego. Because in Seva you have to do all things. You have to sweep also. You have to clean places, which in fact you have servants at home, and what your servants are doing, your staff are doing, you have to do it here. You did not do at home, and here you are supposed to do what your staff are doing. And therefore, your ego has to come down. And it is one of the requirements for studying Shastra. Because in Shastra, what we are saying is, your ego is born of ignorance. And ego has become so strong because of so many experiences. And that ego is to be melted away. It has to be thinned first. Thinning of ego is done by seva. When you do seva to Guru, you have to accept that Guru is somebody who is worthy of seva, and I am the someone who is doing seva. So I am sevaka, means serving person, because servant word may be too harsh, but actually sevaka means servant. I am sevaka and my guru is a master. I tell you, our education and all this, our background may not allow to accept this, that oh, my guru is my master and I am servant. I don't like this. I don't care for this type of Vedanta. Imagine, suppose we had kept this condition, that first three months, you have to just do seva in group, no study. And afterwards only the course will start. I tell you, about 20 people only will join the course. And that also I doubt. Even 1 hour seva we had to do, many people had this difficulty. In fact, somebody asked this question, we have only paid 8,000, still we have to do seva? When I heard this, I was amused. So, we have some resistance to do seva. And that itself shows the strength of ego. In fact, the person who thinks like this needs to do more seva than others. Because his ego is stronger. He requires a bigger treatment. Without doing seva, ego doesn't go away. Ego doesn't go away simply by intellection, oh, ego is mithya and all this. Doesn't go away. First, it has to be thinned. Thinner has to be applied, and thinner is seva. It is very difficult, as I told you, this modern time is very difficult to accept why seva. It's a way of exploitation. They want to run the ashram, and therefore they have created the concept of seva. In some ashram it is called Karma Yoga. They gave the name Karma Yoga. So 1 hour you have to do Karma Yoga. So morning is a Bhakti, is a Dhyana Yoga, then 1 hour karma yoga, and 6 to 7 bhajan, bhakti yoga, and in between there were jnana yoga. So if you say seva, then you may say no, but this is the one karma yoga. All four yogas you have to do. So different names are given, and therefore sometimes our mind may resist. Why should we do so? And that very question shows that we need to do seva. Third reason is, when person does guru seva, then he or she gets the opportunity to be with guru. And therefore some rapport is developed. Some tuning up happens. You understand the ways of expression of guru. In such a big setup it is difficult. But in a small setup it is very useful that you have rapport with guru. When you do guru seva, the rapport is developed. And this is very important. You understand his or her ways of communication, ways of saying. So to develop rapport with the teacher also, guru seva is the step. One more reason for guru seva is, when person is doing guru seva, then he or she gets the opportunity to observe guru, how he or she is responding to different situations. And that is a very good learning experience for every sadhaka. You learn this live Vedanta, how he is responding based on his vision, her vision. So you understand that Vedanta is not just something to be studied. Vedanta can be lived in one's life. I can live Vedanta. That I can see from Guru's life. This I have seen in Pujya Swamiji's association. Whenever I am with him, it has been almost every time I got one or two things. Oh, this is how. Especially Pujya Swamiji's sense of appropriateness. What is to be done in a given situation? What is to be said? What is not to be said? What action should be done now? What should be done later on? Oh my God, this is just amazing. I have learnt a lot. This sense of appropriateness. Wonderful. I remember one experience. Somebody had come to see Pujya Swamiji. And I was sitting there by the side of Swamiji. And that was they were talking in Tamil. And I thought, because of my very little understanding of Tamil, that this person is now about to leave. And therefore, as a what is called an obedient or a Sishya, we want to serve, I gave an apple to Pujya Swamiji to give it to him. Because the Swamiji may not remember, so I said, this is my duty, so I gave. Actually, that person had told that I am going to stay here. I am going to be here. So now Pujya Swamiji, he cannot give it back to me, I may feel bad. And he cannot give it to that person because giving apple means you go now. Isn't it? When give prasada means it's an indicator, at least we should know this. When Pujya Swamiji gives you prasada, it means go to Vango. You understand this? Go to Vango means go and come. So now Pujya Swamiji cannot give it to him, and he doesn't want to hurt me, that why are you doing this? What he kept doing, you know? No. He kept playing with this fruit. Kept playing with this. And when that person went away, then he kept it. This is called sense of appropriateness. How to handle such a situation? So I learned this. And thus, Guru Seva gives this opportunity.
पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति।